each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, and welcome to GIF. Thank God it is Friday. Hard to believe it again. It seems like we just said that.
Yes.
And we say the same thing every week. It seems like we just said that. So anyway, I'm your brother Anthony, and Father Anthony, Anthony, whatever, Tony, I don't care what, you know. And I share with you the distress, the kingdom, the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. The important thing is I am your brother and that we have, that we're in this together, right?
Yes.
We're sharing that distress.
We're not alone.
And we endure in Christ Jesus. So
yes.
That's the good news, really, you know, because how else would we survive?
We wouldn't make it.
Without the Lord.
No way.
People seem to make it, but they seem to make it.
I know. Really.
Seem to make it. I can't imagine, you know, I can't imagine what, God is so central, and I'm not flying high when I'm saying this, you know, but it's because I'm in the dirt of life. That's why I guess I guess if I were flying high, that would be a figment of my imagination, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be a reality. When I say flying high, I mean, what do I mean? I don't know. I'm in the dirt. I'm in the dirt of life, and so in the stuff of life. And God is the only God. God, which God? There's only one God, right?
Yes.
And that's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed Himself, shown Himself in Jesus. We have seen the face of God in Jesus, and that's the only image or presence, or deity, person, relationship that puts meaning to my life.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yes.
It does.
Yeah.
Total sense.
And so it's for this that I don't despair. It's for this that I persevere. Not in pessimism. I'm going to say that again because so often I'm going to kill the word pessimism from my life because I am not a pessimistic person. I am not a pessimistic. I have hope. I have hope, and I can't imagine. Well, see, the reality is, as I have said often, that it's knowing the story, and you know how it's going to end. You see the cross. We can embrace the cross. Thank God we can identify with that cross. But we see it. But we see beyond the cross. We see beyond the cross, and that's certainly what we're preparing to celebrate. Although we celebrate it, we observe the solemnity of the Paschal mystery every single day. How do people don't realize that? You know that every single day I forget because I'm in a unique place, along with many others, because there are many who you people here and many of our listeners and many. But when we're at the heart of the church, in the sense that we're constantly reflecting on the Word of God, and we partake in the sacramental life of the church, then we're in this rhythm. There's a rhythm. There's an order to life, even as we suffer the disorder, the distraction, the noise. What was it I was writing? I think I might have shared this. Yes, I was writing this, but that even Christians, and that's who we are, Catholics very specifically, but Christians, we vacillate between victory and defeat and between virtue and vice, right? Mm-hmm. Virtue and vice. We're in the tension. We're in the struggle. We win some. We lose some. We fall. We pick ourselves up. We keep going. We keep our eyes. We try to keep our eyes on the Lord. The key is always certainly that we persevere. We persevere. But anyway, I'm your brother. Your brother. We're part of the mystical body of Christ. We're brothers and sisters one to another because we have life in God, the Father, our Father, who has so beautifully adopted us into his family, right? And so we're therefore adopted brothers and sisters of Christ Jesus and adopted sons and daughters of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This whole beautiful image of the family, so that everybody has a place. Everybody's called into this family, and it's really our mission, right? It's our mission as a church. I was telling the children the other day that the Mass, you know, so he's going through I mentioned yesterday, I think, from Wednesday night, I had the First Holy Communion students, second graders. And so I'm telling them, you know, I bring them into the sanctuary and let them get really close to the altar of sacrifice and the table of the banquet. That becomes the table of the banquet. But it's principally speaking the altar of sacrifice. It's what we call it. It's what it is, what it is. It always has been. But it's from there that Jesus feeds us, right? He feeds us with his body and blood, his soul and divinity. And then, of course, the ambo, not the podium, not the lectern, but the ambo, where the word of God is proclaimed. I was telling them, I forgot where in the scriptures, was it Isaiah or one of the prophets, I think, but the beautiful, beautiful, or might have been in the book of Maccabees. I don't remember, but I have to find this because it was so beautiful. When the Israelites, they come out of their exile and they rebuild the temple. I don't even know if they had yet rebuilt the temple. No, in fact, they had not. They had come out of the exile, and the point being is that for so long, they hadn't heard the word of God. They hadn't had the word of God proclaimed to them, the Hebrew scriptures, and they describe in the book, whichever book it is, that the ambo is built, the place from where the word of God is going to be proclaimed, and the reverence, you know, that they prostrate themselves as the word is proclaimed, and there's a weeping. The priests were weeping, and the people were weeping. They were just so moved to be able to participate in sacred worship, you know, and to have the word, to hear the living word of God, because it's always a living word of God, because it's God's word, but just how perhaps, unless it's taken away from us, maybe when it's taken away from us, then perhaps we might reappreciate just what it is we had or what it is we've neglected, you know. I'm not speaking. I'm speaking here to the choir, certainly. So, but there is this frustration and a sadness when many don't partake.
Taken for granted,
yeah. Or just
unimportant.
Yeah,
unimportant.
Doesn't matter.
I was saying on Sunday. By the way, how are you guys? I haven't even said. Didn't even say hello. Hi.
No.
Hi, Father.
Said hi to. Those
we're fine
out there in the TV land. Or no, we're not TV. This is radio, right?
Radio.
Wishful thinking.
No way. That would do me in right there.
Us here in control room.
Later. In the control room.
Yeah, you're getting, like I said, Friday feeling is coming over.
Yeah, you guys both have black on. You know, it's because it's Friday, I guess, huh?
I don't know, but here, hold on.
Tony, you gotta. I mean, yeah, Tony, you gotta look at that and see.
Yeah, translate. Tony.
What is it?
Groot.
I am Groot.
Yeah, if you've seen Guardians of the Galaxy,
it's comic book.
That goes over my head.
There's a shirt I got yesterday, and I got one for my brother for his birthday this week.
Okay, wow,
it was just too cool, and he and I liked the same stuff.
Now that's virtual reality, isn't it?
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Imagination, maybe, or fantasy, pal.
Fantasy land.
As somebody said to me, you know, we need a little bit of a respite sometimes. Not from the sacred. No way. From the sacred. But the intensity of the heaviness and it is intense. Sometimes you just that's why God ordained that there be a day of rest, right? So there can be a day of to worship God. But also a day of festivity. Yeah. We need festivity. We need celebration. We need celebration. This is absolutely necessary in life. It's just it can't just be all. Oh, we can't just be all so serious, you know. We're serious.
Why even so in, serious?
I mean, even in festivity and celebration, sure. There's this, you know.
There has to be a balance.
Father Coy's birthday today, so we have
to. Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah,
happy birthday,
happy
Father.
Birthday to Father Coy's. Wow. I wonder.
Did he say how old?
He
doesn't.
He doesn't say.
He doesn't say that.
Wow.
There you go.
For Father Coy's.
Father Coy's. He listens sometimes.
He does.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Happy birthday.
Birthday, Father.
Father Coy's the historian.
Yes. Yeah.
Historian. He loves history.
And yesterday was my mom's birthday.
Happy birthday to your mom. Time. Wow. The teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Is she in break this week, though, I think, isn't she?
Not yet. Next it's week. Coming up soon, but not yet.
Yeah.
So many different schools, I forget.
Week. Oh, they go on Holy Week as well.
So many different schools, they've got different schedules with different break periods,
so
it gets confusing.
It does, yeah. Well, can you believe April is just around the corner?
I can't
believe it.
I don't want to believe it.
And there's a lot of birthdays in April.
Yeah.
Not birthday. Mine, but.
There are some people. Some people were born in April, like Tony.
Yeah.
Tony.
Father.
On Holy Saturday.
Father,
yes.
You were on
By the
Holy
way,
Saturday,
I was born on Holy Saturday, like Pope Benedict.
Armin,
yes, that's right, Armin. Tyrone.
Tony was born on Friday the 13th, right, Tony?
Is that true?
No, I'm just kidding.
That wouldn't surprise me.
No, it wouldn't surprise sure
would.
Me.
That would convince me.
Exactly. Because it is the 13th, right?
It is the 13th.
Yeah, see? Well, you were going to say something to remind you of something?
Yeah, you just remember I said that. I'm not now, but I mean
remind
later.
You.
Remind me.
Okay, remind you.
Remind me, just say. Okay. And remind me birthday reminder, okay?
Okay, birthday reminder.
I know what that's all about.
Okay.
So, all right. I'll tell you, there's a lot of beautiful... But you're all doing fine, okay? So
yes,
it looks like
it's Friday, thank God.
And Geraldine, you prayed this morning, so you seem somewhat calm.
Peaceful.
It's the only thing that helps
it's
me.
The only thing, isn't
being
it?
Calm, right?
Right. So true. So true. I realized this morning when I went to move my car that I hadn't moved it since yesterday morning. I was so busy. We were working on these letters and all that. We get deadlines to meet, and so it was by the end of the day. Well, by the time I went to confession. To the confessions. I should have gone to confession myself. But by the time I went to the confessions, my head was just, the point where you think, is there something wrong with me? I mean, what is, am I on the way out, as you
felt
would say?
That way
That's
yesterday.
How it feels.
Yeah. Just it's the body, the mind, stress, what stress can do to you. So,
and you know how the holy days are so beautiful, and it seems like and the anticipation is so stressful, but once you go into it, it's beautiful because God is in control. He takes over.
He is
and
in
you
control.
Can feel His presence.
Yeah,
there's really something about taking that walk with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I love this time just to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I must admit, I haven't had the chance, but I'm always thinking.
Sure.
And even doing the Stations of the Cross.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a beautiful, beautiful.
Well, that
experience.
Tony leads me right into the first question because there's a lot of beautiful readings. See, now we're seeing, because we're just a week away from Palm Sunday, almost, this Sunday in 8 days.
Yes.
It will be this Sunday, the following Sunday will be the beginning of Holy Week, the observance, the solemn observance of Holy Week, which will culminate in the Sacred Triduum. And I truly encourage, as you just said, that everybody... if you've never done it, plan to participate in the full Triduum. That means even the whole all of Holy Week, because it is very sobering.
Mm-hmm.
It's very moving. It's very it's an emotional time. It really
it is.
And again, I go back and I says, when people are because you think about Easter, okay? So our secular society, and I don't know, I haven't been in the stores, but I'm assuming at this point they've got the Easter baskets.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, it's been out
there. Is it right?
There.
Yeah, yes. It's been out there already.
Yes.
Weeks already.
Easter. So the green's gone, right? The green is gone for Patrick, St. Patrick. Mm-hmm. By the way, you know, and this is the winds have changed, mm-hmm. you know, the reality. I happened to, yesterday was the feast of St. Joseph.
Yes.
Joseph.
That's your middle name, no?
It is my middle name, yeah. So nobody wished me happy.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I waited
all day, you know. I waited all day, but didn't happen, so that's okay.
Sorry.
No, I'm just joking, you know. I'm joking, but I am a Joseph, mm-hmm. as well. Anthony Joseph.
As your father.
It's a beautiful name, isn't it, really?
It is, yes.
It is. And but anyway, you know, I happened to leave the Winds of Change, our radio, mm-hmm. and just to eat, and so I turn on the radio just to get the news of the day and all that. And I can tell you what channel I listen to, but it went into this other program, and I only listened for a little while, but they started talking about St. Joseph, and it was just sad. Let me just say, it was sad. The lack of... it just tells you where people are at,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you know, and some of these were Catholic people.
So much for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But even yeah. even saying that Joseph was a, what is it about the Italians and St. Joseph? And one of the persons on the radio was Italian Catholic, and she explained, and then they said, well, Joseph would, he was the foster father of Jesus. But he had, but Jesus, and then they were going on about how Jesus had three brothers and all that, and then that they, Mary and Joseph, had sex and all that. And this is how they were talking.
Gosh. Let's hear it for pagan time, yes.
But it was just, it was just the superficiality of it all, and the ignorance. And then the people calling in, too, who would just kind of chime in, and it was as if it just was this fictitious, fanatical fantasy of a certain cult of people or whatever. It was just amazing to me. It was amazing.
They don't know what they're talking
amazing
about.
Amazing and sickening, I would
yes.
think.
Yeah. So, but anyway. And nobody challenged. I mean, you know, nobody.
No, because they don't know.
Why would they?
They would not, no. So anyway. And then, of course, the whole thing of Lent. It was just whatever. But going back to what Tony was saying about this walk, you know, walking. Mm-hmm. I was reading this article this morning, and I just introduce it, and then we'll take a break, and we can come back, and we can talk about it. So I can just leave you with a question, or this was a statement made by St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, mm-hmm. who gave us the Diary of the Divine Mercy, the first saint canonized in the Jubilee year, mm-hmm. and really it was Pope John Paul II, St. Pope John Paul II, who in his papacy, her writings had been suppressed, and he brought them out of suppression and began to open up the whole diary. And it seems to me that that's what really, really defined his papacy. And interestingly, by the way, I haven't mentioned this, but Pope Francis has proclaimed the year 2016 to be the year of mercy. You remember, so that'll be very interesting
yes.
to see, you know, but it would, so that the whole church will be really focused mm-hmm. on the divine mercy, the mercy of God.
And then Pope John Paul, he passed away the vigil of divine mercy.
He did, yes. Yeah. He promulgated mm-hmm. the vigil, as was asked yes. of Jesus, to St. Maria Faustina Kowalska. And we were celebrating that already mm-hmm. Before.
Yes.
But it is now obligatory that all the churches throughout the world celebrate on the octave of Easter. That would be the eighth day, the celebration of the Feast of the Divine Mercy. But St. Maria Faustina said that there's more merit to 1 hour of meditation. As Jesus spoke to her, that there's more merit to 1 hour of meditation on my sorrowful passion than there is to a whole year of extreme physical mortification. Mm. So just take that and mm-hmm. think about that for a moment, and we'll let you people here, mm-hmm. Maybe reflect on that. Or what does that mean? There's more merit to 1 hour of meditation on my sorrowful passion than there is to a whole year of extreme physical mortification. All right? Think about that. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
We join our Chaldean Catholics in prayer to the Mother of God for peace in the Middle East. Mother of God, Virgin Mary, be for us a safeguard from all illnesses and hardships. Through the great love you have for Christ, ask and beseech him to be merciful to us, to give healing to our ailments, to console the downtrodden, to unite those who are scattered, and to forgive us.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hello, I'm William Neal of Project Fourth Stream. We will be performing a benefit concert with the church choir and guest soprano Josephine Stoppelberg on April 11th at 7:30 at St. Stanislaw Kostka Church in Chicago. We have entitled the concert Notris Voces, Out of Darkness into Light, because the music, quietly passionate and reflective, will explore the themes of darkness and illumination. Music is a blend of classical and jazz improvisation and has been inspired by the recently restored artifacts in the church's sanctuary of the Divine Mercy.
The Nostras Voces concert is a fundraiser for St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. The concert is Saturday evening, April 11th at 7:30. Tickets $25 for adults, $40 for families. That's adult parents with minor children. High school and college students, $10. Purchase tickets online by visiting sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. Two weeks from today is Good Friday. Good Friday. Holy Week soon. And the readings, and the Mass today, again, as I was saying at the, before the break, we... Or going back to what Tony was saying, we walk with him. This is a well, we walk with him always, because mm-hmm. The church, in her liturgy and in the liturgy of the Word, is always proclaiming the gospel. So we're being daily immersed in the life and the teachings of Jesus. But in these times, in this last week before Holy Week and then through Holy Week, we really. There's this a change of tone, and I find it always so striking. It just, I don't know, just it pierces my heart, because you can see the change in tone in the mm-hmm. person of Jesus as his attention is directed. It's always directed away from himself, because he's always but it's in a very. In a very distinct kind of a way, there's this, can I say, a fixation on the Father, mm-hmm. because he realizes that, as the Scripture says, his own didn't receive him, and even those who did, even the apostles who are very close to the Lord, I always think of the that moment. He says it a couple of times, actually. He says, He expresses his frustration that they don't understand, they don't get it, and the Lord is grappling with his own. Well, certainly he's come to do the will of the Father, yeah. And it's for this that he lives, for love of the Father, but he's also grappling with his own human will,
right.
Which is. And again, this is it's for all of us to try to understand, because Jesus was fully human and fully divine. And as I've said many times, his humanity, how do I say that? That his divinity was constricted, can you say constricted, mm-hmm. or... Let's just use that word, constricted by the imposition of his humanity, mm-hmm. so that he lived with this this longing for this return to the Father, even though he was in union with the Father and he were one, but he was separated from the Father, as we're separated from God. Mm-hmm. As St. Augustine said, we're not going to rest until we rest in God. And yet the kingdom has come, but it's not fully realized. And so Jesus, in his humanity, he suffers, he weeps, he has fear, he has anxiety, and this is what we're gonna experience. He has anger. You know, that was 2 weeks ago, right? We saw in the gospel his righteous anger as he went into the temple and he upturned the tables, and you know, the fulfillment of the prophecy, his jealousy for the house of the Father, right?
Right.
The temple. And he saw the desecration, not just the desecration, but the lack of attention given to all things sacred, most especially to God the Father. And so he turns the tables and he sends them all away in anger. But prior to that, as I mentioned, I think, on the radio a couple of days ago, but just prior to that, as he was coming into the holy, because this was his last journey to the city, but as he comes over the hill and he sees the holy city of Jerusalem, the gospel says he got down and he wept, and he says, you know, how like a mother hen I tried to bring you under my wings, like chicklings under my wings, and you refused me, and this would be to your own ruin. You know, he knew that. It's because it's what the people do to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's taking love to the limit. But so what we see in these days is a shift in the tone. Now there's a building. The violence against him is building.
Mm-hmm.
It's building, and they're looking for some reason to silence him, really to kill him. In fact, that was the gospel today, wasn't it? Jesus. Let's see. Well, let me look at this first reading first, because I think it's there's a number of readings. So even as we're preparing for but the question was, you know, why do we meditate on? Well, let me ask the question. Let you answer it, and then we'll go into this, because I did ask a question. Why is there more merit to why is there more merit to 1 hour of meditation on the sorrowful passion of Jesus than a whole year of extreme physical mortification?
Because when you do the physical mortification, you sort of, I don't want to say, well, in the way you're sort of focusing on your
sure.
suffering, it's on
sure.
the self. And when we are meditating on his suffering, the focus is on him, what he did
sure.
for us,
yeah.
and gratitude. And it's very emotional. It's like when Tony talks about meditating on the Stations of the Cross, that's very painful. It's
yeah.
very emotional, and it makes us think what he went through for love of the Father and for love of,
exactly.
of us. That's what I...
That's yeah, it's yeah. an excellent... excellent answer. So it's because Jesus in his own suffering, he was suffering for love, as you said, for love of us.
Mm-hmm.
And our extreme physical mortification or whatever, or even the whole practice. I mean, we began the season of Lent with that beautiful reading, that when you fast, you know, don't, you know, clean your face and all that, you know, in other words, the point is when you're doing it, when you give alms, when you fast, when you pray, don't make a public show of it, right? Of course, we do as we begin the season of Lent with the imprint of the ashes on our forehead, but I think that's more of a public witness to the solidarity that we're all in this together, and we're entering together into this sacred season, this penitential season of Lent. And so there is something about being able to identify one with another.
Yeah.
And isn't it true you see that? There were... people I saw, you know, it's interesting to see somebody maybe in the news or who's got the ashes on her. That's a powerful statement, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful statement that I am a Christian,
sure.
but it's, anyway, so that's...
And I have to say, Father, that even meditating on his suffering, to me, it's more painful than this physical suffering that we we inflict on ourselves, because it hurts your whole being, your whole heart, your whole soul, just to think what he went through.
Yeah.
And it is transforming.
Right.
When you really, really immerse yourself in his suffering.
It's very humbling when you personalize it, in the sense that this is something that Jesus did for you, mm-hmm. for me, when he could, from the cross, cry, you know, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Anytime anybody comes to confession, especially when people are not able to forgive themselves for something they've done, I always point them, you know, to the cross, and to, you know, go to the foot of the cross and listen closely to those words of Jesus as he cries those words from the cross, Father, forgive him or forgive her, depending, you know, as it personalize it, because you know, God wants our freedom. He wants our liberation. He wants that we be the devil's the accuser.
Yes, yes.
So the devil will keep us, and sometimes it's pride too that will keep us from, oh, geez, how could I have done that, or how could I, you know, whatever, you know, it's, you know, I'm above that, I'm beyond that, and well, you know, the fact is, you're not above that, you're not above it, you're not beyond it, you know, and mm-hmm. or St. Paul said, but by the grace of God, go I, and you know, are we not capable of just about anything, mm-hmm. you know, really? So I think it's humility, really. To receive Jesus, to forgive, to receive his mercy and his forgiveness and to be liberated, requires of us that we be humble, that mm-hmm. we approach him with humility,
yes.
recognizing that, you know, we're absolutely in need
yes.
of God. So that, going back to the extreme mortification or any kind of, whether it's fat, this is all important, because mm-hmm. we know.
Sure.
And why is it? Because we have to. We need to create the space.
Sure.
We need to create the space. But if it's just a focus on oneself, mm-hmm. If it's to make an impression on others, mm-hmm. or to convince myself mm-hmm. that yes. then this is we've missed the mark.
Yeah, and like you said, I'm not saying that it's not worth doing, because
it's necessary.
It's necessary, but I think the other is more powerful.
Well, it should bring us to actually, create the space so that we're able to focus on
him.
Yeah.
And it's very transforming, because when you meditate, then you think to yourself, I want to be like him. You know, look what he did.
Yeah.
I want to do the same. I want to be like him. And to have that gratitude, what he went through. Because we often forget. I know I forget. I have to remind myself.
Yeah. Mother Teresa speaks of the cry of Jesus from the cross, or even the words, you know, Father, forgive them. But also when he said, I thirst, mm-hmm. I thirst. And her whole, if the divine mercy, let's say, perhaps, that's my suggestion, that the divine mercy was what identified, or it's really what constitutes a mission of the church, is the church is merciful. And truth is, to speak in truth and to live in truth is to be merciful, because it's a merciful way of saying, you know, this will set you free, this truth, you know, so that you're not trapped in your own sin or enslaved in your own darkness or entrapped in your tomb, but the Lord wants you to be free.
Like the movie, it makes me think of The Passion of the Christ, how so many people that watched the movie went through a conversion. They came back to the church. Even for myself, it sort of opened my eyes to what, that's the Mass, the Holy Sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice. That
right.
is the Mass right there.
Well, somehow we've got to bring this. Yeah. We got to help people to make mm-hmm. that connection, because
yes.
I don't think that we talked about that a little bit yesterday,
sure.
about the noise that
mm-hmm.
has kind of crept into the celebration of the sacred mysteries. But the sacred mystery is what? But it's the unfolding drama
mm-hmm.
of that Paschal mystery, you know, the suffering, the death, and of course the resurrection of Jesus. But Mother Teresa speaks about this, the I thirst.
Yes.
So as Divine Mercy may have identified the papacy of John Paul II, in my opinion, the what would identify or define the life of Mother Teresa and her mission to the people, but is her contemplation, reflection, her meditation, her contemplation of those words of Jesus, which means that she certainly kept herself there at the foot of the cross, and she listened, she watched, and she listened. And when Jesus says, "I thirst," and she understood that to be, what is it that he's thirsting for souls, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I thirst for this or that, you know, these, so go out, because I satiate the thirst of my people. It's like God speaking to Moses, Yahweh, and says, "I see the affliction of my people. I hear the cries of my people, and I want you to go, and I want you to set them free." And this is the same thing that this is exactly as Mother Teresa has conveyed to the world through her own life and mission, is to satiate the thirst of the people, to set free those who are downtrodden, those who are poor, those who are unloved, you know, the unloved. I mean, that was she's most famously known for picking up the dying from the streets of Calcutta and taking them to the home of the dying. They call it the home of the dying, so that they could die knowing that they were loved, that they were loved. It's a very beautiful thing. And anyway, so this is the time when we will meditate on these last days. Because as I was writing in this letter, and I think, did I perhaps say this in the beginning? I did, I think, today too. But Easter joy is born from deep suffering. And again, who doesn't know suffering? Who doesn't know suffering? This is the question I ask in the letter is, you know, I try to personalize it in a sense, you know, what only you know the suffering that is there in your mind, in your head. You know the suffering of your heart, the pain of the heart, the ache of the heart, the suffering of the soul, your soul, the suffering of your body, you know. And nobody can escape that. That's just part of the, and we have many ways we can try to escape, run from that, you know. But eventually, you know, we all have to face the reality. Just by way of example, again, I've mentioned this before, but it immediately comes to my mind. No matter, God rest her soul, but Joan Rivers, you know, 81 or 82 years old, and I was shocked to read how many plastic surgeries she had had, you know. But no matter what, you know, you can do anything and everything you want to pretend or make believe that you're 31 years old or 32 mm-hmm. years old, but the reality is the reality, yes. Right? Yes. And there's a point where we have to face that reality. Yes. And when we do, then, you know, it's if we haven't God to go to, if we can't reach our hand, if we can't humbly, you know, in humility, put our hand into the hand of God, you can say, you know what? You know, yeah, I thirst for you, you know, and what the world has taken away from you, I'm going to give back to you. I'm going to give back to you. But that's only fully realized. Again, it's realized only after we pass from this life to the next. In the meantime, yes, there's much we have to suffer in life. And so I say the joy, Easter joy, is born from a deep suffering. And as Christians, we have to have the courage to face that. And as I say, you know, We vacillate between victory and defeat, between virtue and vice, but the key is to persevere in humility, which means I need you, God. I can't do it without you, and surrender. And it's this meditation, this reflection, this contemplation of the suffering of Jesus that brings us to understand not only the incomprehensible love and mercy he has for us, but also that he identifies with us and we can identify with him. There's great compassion, but also great empathy. And this is unique to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself in Jesus. He forms his people walking with his people. Anyway, all right, let's take a break and then we'll look at some of the readings we'll look at the readings because very beautiful readings today and this coming Sunday as well, as we're preparing for Holy Week. a week away, but we're getting there. So we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Hello, I'm Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute. I'm inviting you to an opportunity to be pierced by the sheer beauty of God's plan for your life, to make the connection between God, sex, and the meaning of life.
As Father Loya invites you to hear renowned speaker and author Christopher West Saturday, April 25th at St. Mary Immaculate Parish in Plainfield, Illinois.
Original sin for all of us, for every human being on the planet, has disoriented our desires. We often find ourselves hungry for things that don't satisfy the ache, don't satisfy the need.
Join Christopher Saturday, April 25th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. at St. Mary Immaculate Parish, 15629 South Route 59, Plainfield, Illinois. Limited seating. Register online to coreseminar.evenbright.com. Core spelled C-O-R, Bright spelled B-R-I-T-E.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So we're coming. This is just there's this dramatic change of tone in the scriptures as we're now in these days, the week before Palm Sunday or the week before Holy Week. And the reading today was from the Book of Wisdom. Now this is the Book of Wisdom, so we're not even talking about the Book of Isaiah. When you get into the Book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, we'll see this this coming Sunday. I mean, just this alone is something to reflect on. It's amazing, isn't it? Because we, especially as Catholics, we have the richness of the saints and the writings of the saints and all that, and much of it is extrapolated from sacred scripture. But it's interesting that, you know, if we were to, let's say, just go to Mass every day, and there's teaching, you know, like a very brief, but it's there. It's there. And I say, there's a rhythm, there's an order. As the story is unfolding, this is talking about walking with Christ. I'm not saying not to read the lives of the saints. No, we need, just as we share with each other, you know, it's the personal stories. And also the beauty of the saints is it reminds us that God is ever alive through the whole of history. So we're not just, this is the advantage I think we have as Catholics over Christians who are not in the Mother Church, is that we have this living tradition. It's a living tradition. It's alive. So we see how is God working through the lives of the saints down through the ages. And it's just absolutely fascinating to read from the early fathers of the Church or to read the writings of St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena, you know, St. Ignatius Loyola, whatever, St. Francis of Assisi, St. Anthony, whatever. And this is all over the world, but it's to see that, well, God is ever present, ever alive, ever active, ever engaged, always forming, transforming, purifying, sanctifying. He's always bringing good out of evil and light out of darkness, and eventually he brings, of course, life out of death. And so even the communion of saints is our stating and emphatically that we believe what Jesus says to be true, that we will share in his kingdom, that he says, I go to my Father and your Father there to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you too will be. But the scriptures themselves are priceless, because that's the living word of God. And this is how we check ourselves. We have to check ourselves against what has been written, you know, so that even a saint writes about his or her life, or somebody writes about the life of the saint, we simply, and the church will check it against what is written in sacred scripture. And again, this is God molding, forming, purifying, sanctifying his people. But from the Book of Wisdom, just listen to this, and you know, how many hundreds of years was this written before the Christ event? By the way, and this is the other thing, just to always keep in mind, the difference between Jesus and any other religious figure, whether it be Muhammad, whether it be Buddha, whether it be whoever would emerge in history, the difference between Jesus, this is unique to Judeo-Christianity, by the way, because again, we can't separate Christianity from Judaism. We have we can't even begin to know who we are apart from Judaism. We come out of Judah, and the Jews remain our elder brothers and sisters, so they're the apple of God's eye. And it's believed, biblically speaking, that at the end of time, they will those who didn't will come to accept Jesus, recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And certainly our mission is to all the people, right? But the difference between Jesus and Muhammad, for instance, is that Jesus is the only one, the only prophet, supreme prophet, God in the flesh, as we profess, mm-hmm. Jesus to be God in the flesh, who was foretold, and foretold over hundreds, thousands of years. In other words, there was a whole historical preparation for Jesus Christ, unlike any other. There was no preparation for Muhammad, no preparation for Buddha, no for these other great religions or big religions, and no preparation whatsoever. For Jesus, this is a God working in and through history. But anyway, so the Book of Wisdom today says, the wicked said among themselves. Now, the wicked, who are the wicked? Well, you know, think about that. The wicked said among themselves, thinking not aright, let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our training. He professes to have knowledge of God and styles himself a child of the Lord. To us he is the censure of our thoughts. Merely to see him is a hardship for us, because his life is not like that of others, and different are his ways. He judges us debased. He holds aloof from our paths as from things impure. He calls blessed the destiny of the just, and boasts that God is his Father. Let us see whether his words be true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, he will defend him. God will defend him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. With revilement and torture, let us put him to the test, that they may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience, that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to his own words, God will take care of him. These were the thoughts, but they erred, for their wickedness blinded them, and they knew not the hidden counsels of God. Neither did they count on a recompense of holiness, nor discern the innocent soul's reward. Now, if that's not a preparation for a Jesus, but what I found interesting is, and this is the, again, if you look at the prophets, especially, you know, Isaiah or Jeremiah, I'm thinking specifically Jeremiah, especially Jeremiah, because he's so he's so graphic in his lament, because he's chosen to do to do the will of God, and in doing so, he's rejected and he's denied and he's been ostracized. He's alone. I always go back to this. He says, "Here I sat in the midst of all the merrymakers under the weight of your hand, O Lord, and it better than not have been born." And be, well, he says, "Cursed be the day of my birth." Right? I think he says, "Did better that my mother had aborted me." Didn't he say that?
Mm-hmm.
I think he said that. And but I mean, that's just how deep his pain was, and because he suffered this rejection. This is what we see in Jesus. We find this in Jesus. Jesus doesn't, he doesn't curse the day of his birth, but he suffered the pain of rejection. This is a part of the Easter story, right? Is that he was denied, that he was abandoned, that he was betrayed, all this. But then, of course, as Jeremiah says, which would be another way of Jesus saying, you know, Jesus says, "Let this cup pass me by, but not my will, but thy will be done." Jeremiah says, you know, "Cursed be the day of my birth. Why did I even say yes? Why did I say yes? Look what it's done to me. Look at what it's caused me. Here I am alone, sitting in the midst of these merrymakers, and the weight of your hand upon me." But then the fire burns within, and I can't contain it. I can't contain it because God, because you are my love. You, without you, there is no life. You know. But what I found interesting is that we speak about the church as the great communion, the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ. And yet, is it not the case for so many? I see in your families, perhaps in a religious community, perhaps in the brotherhood or the priesthood, whatever, that sometimes we find ourselves walking rather alone. And there's this, but, you know, but when it was said, he doesn't follow our ways.
Mm-hmm.
He makes himself aloof from our paths, as from things impure. In other words, he's not going with the flow, because sometimes what happens is we're guilty of a kind of corporate complacency. And I think this is the thing that Pope Francis, was raised to the chair of Peter, he wants to break that any kind of corporate complacency, any kind of collective complacency that we become authentic Christians. That we stand in a prophetic way. This is a Pope Benedict. I've mentioned this before, but when I had a private audience with him, when he called me over to his place, and he says, "You know, Tony, I want you to come, and I got to talk to you a little bit here." Mm-hmm. But it was me and some others as well, right? So, and he doesn't know my name, but he saw me many times. I saw him many times, miraculously, I have to say, really quiet. It's another whole story. I could have a program on that. With Pope John Paul II as well. I don't know if I ever told that story. One of these have to tell the story about Pope John Paul II, because that is fantastic. How I ended up being at Mass and sat right in front of the Holy Father,
yeah.
And when I shouldn't have even been there. And by the time I got there, this was in the Holy Land, mm-hmm. by the time I got there and I had everybody pray the rosary that I would at least get in there, because I didn't mm-hmm. even have a press pass or a pass to get in. And anyway, we'll tell the story some other time, but I was right there. I had the center seat right in front of the Pope.
And then you thought, nobody's going to believe me. And then the lady saw you, the older lady.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
saw you.
I told the people on the bus, you know, I said, "You can't believe it. Thanks for the prayers," because I had a seat right in front of the Pope, and they didn't believe me. They thought I was exaggerating. But when we got to the hotel, the other ladies who couldn't go, some of the older ladies mm-hmm. came out and said, "Oh, we saw you. We were watching it. We saw you. You were right there. We saw
right
you right
in front of the Pope." Right.
There you go. But anyway, see how we deviate when we get caught up in ourselves, you know. Let's take a break, yeah. And we'll come back because just this beautiful reading already for Sunday is a good way to bring the show to a close. Yeah, okay. Be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Lucid Point of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link. Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hello, I'm William Neal of Project Fourth Stream. We will be performing a benefit concert with the church choir and guest soprano Josephine Stoppelberg on April 11th at 7:30 at St. Stanislaw Kostka Church in Chicago. We have entitled the concert Notres Voces, Out of Darkness into Light, because the music, quietly passionate and reflective, will explore the themes of darkness and illumination. Music is a blend of classical and jazz improvisation and has been inspired by the recently restored artifacts in the church's sanctuary of the Divine Mercy.
The Nostras Voces concert is a fundraiser for St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. The concert is Saturday evening, April 11th at 7:30. Tickets $25 for adults, $40 for families. That's adult parents with minor children. High school and college students, $10. Purchase tickets online by visiting sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org.
Welcome back, everybody, as we wrap up. Now, this is going to be the gospel for the Sunday, and it just sets the tone. It really sets the tone, because for the Holy Week, again, will be a week away, but we're going to just, I say the tone has changed. Mm-hmm. And in the gospel, this is from John's gospel, some of the Greeks had come to worship at the Passover feast, and they went to Philip, one of the disciples, and they said, we'd like to see Jesus. We'd like to see Jesus. And Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and they told Jesus. And here was Jesus' response, and this sets the tone. He said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. And then he says it, I am troubled now. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, but it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. So, Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And Jesus said, this voice, this is the voice of the angel. The voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. But now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. And he said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. That sets a tone. Everybody have a blessed weekend. We'll be back Monday, God willing. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside